Lawrence Brenebo in our studios with Movie Math here on Northland Morning.
The all-time best, oh my God, I can't believe he did that. That was so cool moment I have ever seen in a movie was Raiders of the Lost Ark in the classic scene where Indiana Jones pulled out his gun and shot the big guy with the big sword. That was one of the biggest laughs I've ever heard in a movie theater. This morning I can report to you that second on this list has now been claimed this past weekend by a scene from The Avengers between Hulk and Loki. There was no big laugh for this one, but I actually said, "That was so cool," out loud. A lot of people apparently agree with me because after I saw the movie, I went home and found several pretty creative versions of the scene already up on YouTube. This 21st century sure is pretty interesting. The Avengers, the movie, is quite reminiscent of the first issue of the comic book, where Thor, Iron Man, Giant Man, and the Wasp are trying to capture the Hulk, who is being goaded by Loki. Now, the Avengers were always a problematic comic book for me. Marvel's superhero group was created in reaction to DC's Justice Society of America. But how did Stan Lee and Jack Kirby work out the lineup for the Avengers? Basically, it was most of the Marvel superheroes who did not have their own comic book. Captain America and Iron Man were sharing tales of suspense. Hulk was sharing tales to astonish with Giant Man and the Wasp. And Thor had half of Journey into Mystery. Now, if you have Thor, Iron Man, and Giant Man on your team, going up against the Hulk or an Asgardian god is about the only thing that's going to constitute a fair fight, unless you put together team after team of supervillains to go toe-to-toe with them. That was why, by issue number 16, all of the original Avengers were gone, and the team had gone light with Captain America, Hawkeye, Quicksilver, and the Scarlet Witch. Brains and skills replaced brute force and brute force. But for the big screen, these Avengers need all the brute force they can muster, because they are up against not only Loki, Norse god of mischief, but also a horde of space invaders. That means lots of smashing spaceships and killing aliens, which is certainly a far cry from the old days when Marvel superheroes would never cross that particular line. Does this new and improved formula work? Well, I think the first $200 million opening weekend in movie history pretty much answers that question. But I was never worried because The Avengers was written and directed by Joss Whedon, the pop culture auteur who created Buffy the Vampire Slayer and who co-wrote The Cabin in the Woods. It certainly took Hollywood long enough to put Whedon in charge of a big-budget film. And given that spectacular opening weekend, bolstered by the higher prices for the 3D version that I was not interested in seeing, The Avengers could be on its way to becoming the eighth movie in history to gross $1 billion, adjusted for inflation, dollars. Which is fine with me because I have no problem with Whedon being on a list that has James Cameron and Steven Spielberg twice, along with Cecil B. DeMille, Robert Wise, and Victor Fleming. Because just as Joss Whedon, you know The Avengers is going to provide several things. First, the best written scenes for any character in the movie are written for women, which would be the pair of scenes with Scarlett Johansson as the Black Widow, whom we first meet tied to a chair and being interrogated. This is a great scene because you just know she's going to take those guys apart. But credit should also be given to Whedon for his decision to dress Gwyneth Paltrow in short shorts and not have her wear shoes. Second, there are going to be pop culture references throughout the film. My favorite was actually the joke about the pop culture references when Steve Rogers, still getting used to life in the 21st century, lights up when he actually gets a reference to The Wizard of Oz. Third, one of the good guys is going to die before the final credits, and it's going to hurt. Oh, and let's toss in a fourth one. Look quick and you will recognize at least one recognizable face from the Whedonverse, from Dollhouse to be specific. There's one other actor from Buffy and Angel that you will not be able to recognize, a hint that will be of no help whatsoever, but we do what we can. Which means I can give you a heads up. Don't look for Stan the Man Lee until the film's denouement. You know, this is a solid movie when you're not bothered by the fact the heroes and villains do not really go at it until the final act. But that's okay because these heroes going after each other is pretty entertaining. On balance, because of the equal role each Avenger plays in the movie, I thought that Johansson and Samuel L. Jackson, whose parts were seriously upgraded, along with Mark Ruffalo and Jeremy Renner, the new guys in the block, stood out in comparison to Robert Downey Jr., Chris Evans, and Chris Hemsworth, who have all had the title roles in previous Marvel superheroes. A friend asked me if I thought this movie was okay, good, great, or tremendous. I would say it was very good. I don't think any comic book movie I have seen is tremendous, which means it's up there on the highest level with Lawrence of Arabia, The Godfather, and Seven Samurai. The only ones I would hang the label of great on would be Spider-Man 2 and The Dark Knight, the common denominator for which would be the villains, Dr. Octopus and the Joker, respectively. Loki might be a god, but he's not in their league. But tremendous? No. I'm still on my first hand when it comes to numbering tremendous movies from this century with the Lord of the Rings trilogy and No Country for Old Men. So, no surprises on the movie math for the Avengers. Take Iron Man, plus Thor, plus Captain America, plus Hulk, upgrade the Black Widow and Hawkeye from supporting roles to team players, give the guy from Snakes on a Plane more to do than show up in the end credits, and multiply by the creator of Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Then start counting the money rolling in. Up next would be Iron Man 3 as the first in however many movies Marvel ends up making before culminating in Avengers 2. But put such thoughts on the back burner, boys and girls, because we still have Batman and Superman movies coming out this summer. Dark Shadows opens today, and I'll be back in 2 weeks to review it on the same day Men in Black 3 opens up. Looks like we're going to the movies a lot this summer, doesn't it? A final, final warning on the Avengers. You have to stick around through the cast of characters in the end credits to see the scene that shows who the villain is going to be in the next Avengers movie. And yeah, he is way worse than Loki. And then you have to sit through the rest of the credits to get to the second tag scene so you can leave the theater with a smile instead of thoughts of death. That would be death with a capital D, as in the goddess of death. Don't worry, you'll understand what I mean in 2 or 3 years. I'm Lawrence Bernabeau, and this has been Movie Math on Curtain Call, brought to you in part by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.